Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I want to give everything that I have for as long as I play. And, you know, I'm not saying that I haven't done that in the past, but there's always new ways that I can find to get better, and not being complacent with what I'm doing on the field, understanding that there's a lot of plays that we left out there. And you know, statistically, you look at it, we were top 3-4 offense in the league last year, and it wasn't good enough. So just losing the playoffs isn't fun. I so badly want to bring Super Bowl here to Buffalo.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen earlier this week as we begin OTAs. That was on Tuesday, which was the lone media day for the Buffalo Bills. Some breaking news, though, that happened about 30 seconds ago. The Arizona Cardinals have released wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. And with that, we are going to bring in our guest for today, Matt Perino, Bills beat reporter over at Syracuse.com and the host of the Shout podcast. Matt, I thought we were going to talk about Bills OTAs today. I mean, we will, but the Hopkins news is kind of a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, I bet you they didn't love that whole podcast appearance where he said he wanted to go play with Josh Allen. It's kind of surprising to me, though, because I thought that they'd want to get in, like, with the fact that over the last couple of months, the market for Hopkins hasn't materialized the way that they wanted. I figured they'd want to get to a place where they could try to maybe get some type of compensation back, you know, at the trade deadline. But it probably has gotten to the point where it just made more sense to just move on for both parties. And to be honest with you, this is the scenario where I felt like the Bills could be in play with the way that they can maybe structure a new contract, push a little bit of it down the road. I think there's going to be multiple suitors for him, so I don't know if this is, you know, a slam dunk by any means, but it definitely is intriguing. And, you know, you just heard Josh Allen leading into this, you know, not being good enough last year. The offense, for the most part, is back. And I know there's a lot of excitement around Dalton Kincaid, but, you know, it would be upping the stakes quite a bit to add DeAndre Hopkins to this offense.
So given the fact that it's not really a trade situation anymore, do you think that the Bills are favorites? I mean, obviously, it's very fresh, very, you know, 2 minutes ago. Do you think that the Bills could be considered favorites in landing Hopkins as now a free agent?
I mean, they're at the top of the list, I think. He's going to want to go, you know, at 31 years old, he's going to want to go somewhere where he can win right away. And so you look around the league at teams that can, you know, bring him in. Sure, maybe the Baltimore Ravens could figure something out. But I thought it was interesting that, you know, Lamar Jackson came up two or three down the line when he was talking about quarterbacks that he'd want to play with. If you're going off of just, you know, the last couple of years, you know, a wide receiver going to an offense. I've outplayed the Ravens at the bottom of any list of those top contender teams. I know they have OBJ now, but it's just seems so tough for their passing game. Then, you know, you got to think about the Chiefs, right? Like, that would be really intriguing, like pairing him with Travis Kelce and getting to work with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's a dream for any wide receiver. But then, you know, the Bills, it feels like he's got a lot of respect for Stephon Diggs. He's good friends with Von Miller. He said how much he wants to play with Josh Allen. I think it would just come down to, you know, the money part of it. And, you know, Brandon Bean's never going to put his organization, the bill, the salary cap, in a bad spot for an all-in kind of move. But this seems like a move, like, more so for what it could mean just for the offense right now. Like, of course, Diggs and Hopkins playing together with Gabe Davis in that, you know, third wide receiver role where he could probably really flourish. That's all well and good and exciting. But I think you really make the move for Hopkins to safeguard against injuries elsewhere. Like, you know, Diggs has been healthy over the course of the last couple of years with the Bills. But that's not always going to be the case. I mean, football, you know, injuries happen in this sport. And so if you want to safeguard against some of that stuff, going out and getting a guy like Hopkins makes a lot of sense. I do feel like the Bills probably are the best fit, but it's those money conversations are going to be interesting.
I do wonder with, you know, of course, the Dalton Kincaid pick, which, you know, we can dive right into Kincaid as well, but just it did feel like a little bit that the Bills maybe had, I don't want to say resigned themselves, but just kind of Arizona wasn't moving him and they had moved on to go get the best pass catcher in the draft by many accounts. And now with Hopkins available, like Matt, you brought it up, like this could be maybe, I don't want to say a luxury pick, but like just in case people get hurt. And with a lot of fans also bring up the idea of maybe even trading Gabe Davis. Like, with Hopkins coming in, like, would he slot in right away as being the number two receiver for the Bills? Or would you see it being a little bit more of a, I guess, kind of by committee, with Diggs being the number one guy and then kind of Davis and Hopkins sort of, if Hopkins, of course, you know, winds up signing with the Bills, kind of figuring it out as they go?
I think that they'd probably have to figure it out as they go. But I'd also imagine that if they get really aggressive here, they did their homework with Ken Dorsey on what this would look like should the opportunity become a reality if they could add him to the team. And so what's interesting, too, I went back and I watched a lot of Hopkins from last year when all of this stuff was percolating. And, you know, when you watch him and the way that he runs routes and the way that he wins and the area of the field that he operates, it looks a lot like Stephon Diggs, to be honest with you. He runs a lot of those 10 to 13 yard patterns. He gives you some run after the catch. He's really, his ability to separate is still at a super high level. And so I don't know, like, what does that look like? I mean, they've asked Gabe Davis to play that, all right, go get deep, get open down the field, open up that underneath area for the last couple of years. And I think it was Isaiah McKenzie that said it on a podcast that, you know, maybe if you let Gabe Davis do a little bit more of the underneath stuff, that could open him up as a receiver. So more mouths to feed. I think it gets more complicated for Ken Dorsey. And then if you're Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean making this move, are you confident in Ken Dorsey being able to feed all the mouths and then also manage all of the, you know, now diversity that they're going to have in their offense with ways guys get open, with ways guys win? It's already getting more complicated with the 12 personnel that they're going to have to run now with Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. Adding DeAndre Hopkins is going to be like this potential for, like, overload, right? Like, weapons overload. Like, when you trade for a guy in Madden and you're like, okay, like, I traded for DeAndre Hopkins, but now Stephon Diggs is not, you know, getting the kind of targets that he gets. That's always been my potential problem with this move all along is, like, what does this mean for Diggs if they go get Hopkins and he kind of maybe starts his 1B, but maybe starts to flirt with 1A, and Diggs kind of slots into that 1B. Does that cause a problem? You know, there's a lot to think about with this kind of move.
Obviously, it's very exciting. Big news. You know, there's a lot of hypotheticals that we could throw around here, but don't want to dive into the weeds too much yet, just because it's very fresh and things like that. So why don't we move into your general thoughts on how the OTAs have gone so far? Obviously, you guys were only there on Tuesday, but, you know, what are your takeaways so far from very early on here?
Well, it's funny because I'm very intrigued, after we just talked for 3 minutes about DeAndre Hopkins, I'm really intrigued with what Deontay Hardy could potentially mean in this offense for them with his versatility. Kind of like, I think it has the chance to be a real upgrade on the McKenzie role with a much, and I'm talking about the Brian Daboll era McKenzie role, like not the one where they asked him to be the slot guy last year. Like, they're going to probably ask him to do some of that, you know, jet sweep stuff. They're going to probably line him up in the slot at times. They're going to line him up outside. And I think he's great depth. He's valuable depth. And he's got big play potential. I mean, if you go look at some of his highlights from 2021, if you're adding that to this offense, and, you know, if they don't add Ed Hopkins and it's just what's on the roster right now, then I think that that has a chance to open up some things for Gabe Davis if they're asking Hardy to win down the field. So he was somebody that jumped out. And then there's a bit of a problem, Zach, I think, percolating for the Bills. And that is, what are they going to do with their number two cornerback spot? Because they love Christian Benford. Love him. I mean, listen to, you know, John Butler talk about him earlier on in the week. And I see a real difficult path for Kaiir Elam to securing that number one spot, because, or that number two spot, because even if you beat out Benford, who is going to give him a run again this summer, you have Dane Jackson, who they view as the reliable guy. And so what does that mean for Kaiir Elam if he somehow gets to September and he's not the written in pen CB2? I think that's going to be a really intriguing storyline to monitor over the course of the summer.
Well, I mean, now, like, speaking about that cornerback spot then, I mean, like, what do you make of Kaiir Elam, his rookie season? I thought he really came on in the second half of the year. The first half was, I think, for most aspects, very frustrating because him and Benford were really trading spots. Elam, of course, being a first-round pick, Christian Benford a later-round pick. I'm not saying, you know, is this potentially a bust, but is it one of those kind of positions where it's like, looking back on it, you know, they end up getting a guy in a position of need in the later rounds, but they also drafted a guy in the early rounds, and it kind of does, as we were talking about it, you know, just a few months ago with the draft, kind of does throw into question, you know, the recent draft history of the Bills.
Yeah, it's, you know, I know that there was pressure on Brandon Bean to get a cornerback. Like, he talked about it after he took Elam, right? Like, he was hearing it from his neighbors that, hey, you're going to get a cornerback to play with Tre'Davious White finally? And then they hit on this sixth rounder. They already had a trustworthy guy in Dane Jackson. So, yeah, it's a tough spot. And with Elam, you know, I think I shouldn't be a football coach or evaluator, I guess, because I think I was higher on what he did as a rookie than maybe the Bills even were. And that's why over the course of the season, it continued to be such a struggle to get him onto the field, even when he was healthy. And they're known for not rushing guys. And so I'm not surprised with the approach necessarily, but I am surprised that they're not giving him more of an opportunity to be that definitive guy. And I just mean an opportunity based on how they're talking about it. They're going into this with a full blown CB2 competition this summer for training camp. And, you know, maybe that's to push Kaiir Elam. He's a guy that he's super competitive. He is hardworking. Everybody that I've talked to in the organization, you know, talks about that part of his game. But if he doesn't win that job, you start to wonder about his confidence level. Like, when he does get back on the field, like, what's that going to look like for him? You know, he's a strong-minded guy. He's very confident. I don't necessarily think it'll be a problem. But, man, you want, with this draft history that you mentioned, the Cody Fords of the world, you know, some other players that they've taken over the years where they've hit on a couple. There's been a couple that have, you know, it hasn't necessarily materialized the same way that you envisioned when they took them. I mean, Boogie Basham, AJ Epenesa, we're still talking about them finding a role in year three and year four. And so that worries you if you're a Bills fan. They got to figure out a way to get him onto the field and put him in a place to make plays, because I think of the group, he still has, in a league where you got to cover fast receivers, he's the fastest of the bunch in the cornerback room. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
So sticking with the defense here with another recent draft pick, Dorian Williams. It was kind of talked about that he might be, you know, learning Tremaine Edmonds' old role here a little bit, but Brandon Bean didn't always seem too keen on position changes for him. What are your thoughts on that so far? How do you think that's going to go?
Well, even when being said that, I still thought that the path to him playing was at middle linebacker. Like, I do think that they might throw in some three linebacker looks this year. You know, if you go back to early on in Sean McDermott's tenure here, when Lorenzo Alexander was here, they were doing a lot more of that they've done the last couple of years. So I think that that's definitely a possibility. And I also think that Williams, like, the more you dive into him and what his strengths are, like, you know, that pre-snap, post-snap recognition ability, that's one of the areas where, you know, Tremaine Edmonds struggled, you know, all five of his seasons with the Bills. So, yeah, he might not be the same size, but they might be looking to be a little bit more positionless back there. I mean, it's, you know, you look at the way they played the nickel spot with Taron Johnson the last couple of years, and I think that they could kind of look to do a similar thing with the way they have their linebackers. I think Matt Milano's versatile. I think you could do multiple things with him. You could throw Taron Johnson out there. You could throw three linebackers and Taron Johnson out there if you want to play, you know, some dime looks and maybe even get Taylor Rapp involved. I think Sean McDermott, you know, we talked about a couple of years ago, there was a soundbite out of camp. I think it was McKenzie who talked about Brian Daboll being this like mad scientist cooking up offensive plays. I think we'd be starting to talk about that with Sean McDermott in the way that he deploys the players on defense. This defense has gotten, we've seen the way the season has ended the last couple of years, it's gotten really kind of figured out by the elite offenses in the league. So I think Sean McDermott is determined to change things up and make offensive coordinators have to adjust and react to the Bills and try to do some different things.
Staying with the defense, my favorite player on the Bills, just in terms of whenever he talks, is Von Miller, because it seems like he has very lofty expectations for everything, and he kind of did that this Tuesday as well, saying that he thinks, without a doubt, he's going to be back by week six, even with him dealing with a torn ACL. What did you make of those comments, especially with Miller kind of making a lot of predictions and not necessarily nailing them as often as I think he'd like?
Well, yeah, I mean, I wonder if he's going to, because he's got a really good relationship with Brandon Bean. He said he talks to him all the time. And I wonder if he goes to him after this Hopkins news break and says, man, I've been making all these predictions. You got to make me look good one time here. But yeah, to your point, I always thought week six was a really safe bet, because different than Tre'Davious White in the position that he plays, Von Miller, it's not going to be as difficult, I think, for him to get back to playing shape, because you just don't have to, you know, you don't have to backpedal. You do have to cut. You do have to, you know, spin and do different things. You're going to put some pressure on the leg, but it's not as sudden and it's not as reactionary. I think as a pass rusher, you can set that up a little bit more and do some things to maybe guard against, you know, pain or whatever you're going through as you're kind of getting things back. And he's done it before. He's a veteran. He had the ACL in 13. But I also think it was interesting that he said the goals have changed and he's not pressing to get back because he wants to be the best version for the stretch run, which I think he has to be available. He has to be as close to the version that was last season as he can get. So if it means taking time and letting Boogie Basham and AJ Epenesa maybe get, instead of 30 and 40% of the snaps, 50 and 60% of the snaps, while Von Miller is getting his way back, that might not be a bad thing either.
So sticking with another guy that, you know, is kind of on the mend and on his way back, Damar Hamlin. What's the idea here? Like, obviously he's got a lot to work through and he's got a lot of things to come back from, but what's the feeling around the whole team of like what his plan is going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we'd see him doing maybe some stretch work, some running. I mean, just seeing him hit the sled there in that one video, I think Josh Reed from Channel 4 put it out, was super cool, obviously, considering where things were a couple months ago. I do still wonder, like, I mean, it looks like he's trending in this amazing direction and the way the coaches talk about it, but I wonder if we don't get to a point where, you know, they want to put him on some type of, you know, the pup list or, you know, some type of long-term IR, like put him on the roster and then kind of take it slow we'll see. But who knows? Maybe he gets into that training camp setting, puts on the helmet, puts on the pads, you know, gets back going, and you know, it's all systems go. I mean, it's hard to predict. They're taking it one day at a time like they should, and kind of reacting to how DeMar feels. So it's just going to be about, you know, following that. I think bringing back Dean Marlowe is great insurance if you do need more time. And, you know, who knows? Even when he gets back, I still think that there's going to be the mental part of it. You know, there's probably going to be elements to that that he's got to work through. Obviously, I wouldn't expect anything else. So I think it's just the approach the Bills are taking, I think, is a really smart one. And DeMar seems to be approaching it in a really healthy way also.
On the Wester Hotline, Matt Parrino. Matt, before we let you go, what do you guys got cooking up over at the Shout Podcast? And, of course, I'm sure you're always busy over at Syracuse.com. So what do we got cooking up with, you know, really the peak of summer, really, right around the corner?
Yeah, so we have those on OTAs days, on Tuesdays, and then mini camp. We go live right afterwards with a podcast. Those are some of our most popular shows. And then on June 23rd, it's a Friday night, Shout Live at Wingnuts on 700 Military Road. Come out, can hang out with us, have some great wings, drink some great beers, and talk Bills. It's a fun time.
It's always a fun time. Absolutely. Matt, always a fun time to hear from you. Hope we can talk again and enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
Thanks for having me, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, Matt. That was Matt Parrino on the Wester Hotline, Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com, and, as you heard, the host of the Shout Podcast, DeAndre Hopkins, baby. I'm all the way back in.
I am so... I have a hypothetical.
I do, but by the way, before we get that, I do like that Matt did point out, though, that, like, there could, as we were talking about with the Sabres, there could be a logjam of weapons,
mm-hmm,
where it's
too,
like,
many.
Where's everyone going to go? Now, my point on this, though, is you did only sign guys like Deonte Hardy and Trent Sherfield to one-year deals.
Yep.
They are not locks to be on this team permanently. And 803-0550, do you want the Bills to now go for Hopkins? Because that was always the thing, maybe holding back the contract and trade compensation.
Here's,
he is a free agent now.
Here's a second level, a second tier to dissecting this. Yes, you want, like Matt said, you want the Bills to have that break glass in case of emergency guy, and that would totally be DeAndre Hopkins. He is such an insurance factor, and we can get into this more after the break because we don't have too much time here, but do you want the Bills to sign DeAndre Hopkins just so no one else can have him?
Yeah, and mainly Kansas City.
Mainly Kansas City.
That's really,
like,
the main one.
Like, there's a lot of teams out there that could really utilize him, and they'd be much better if they had one of them that springs to mind, the Chargers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think the Chargers would be phenomenal if they had a guy like DeAndre Hopkins.
I do want to bring this up real quick. Ian Rapoport just tweeted this about 30 seconds ago. This is not a post-June 1st designation release, which means Arizona will take the entire $22.6 million dead cap hit this season.
Wow.
They could not get a thing for him.
Wow. And you probably could have gotten a first-round pick for him. Maybe a second.
See, I think that's the thing, though, is they couldn't. I think that they wanted, like, a third-round pick. He's over 30. You're not getting a first-round pick. They wanted anything for him, and everyone was sitting there going,
"Nope,
we'll wait.
We're
going to
wait
because
he's mad."
Yeah, like, we already know he wants out.
But
and I think that shows Arizona couldn't get a thing for him.
I like I said, I want to get into this a little bit further, but I more want the Bills to take him off the market so that no one else, mainly Kansas City, can have him.
Love it.
I think he'd be a great addition, but I have worries.
But really, it's like, if he's with Mahomes, I'm going to hate everything.
Right, right.
Absolutely. 803-0550, we are taking your calls. We are freed up until 3 o'clock. Do you want DeAndre Hopkins on the Bills? And if you do, do you more want him on the Bills just because of the talent, or do you more want him off of other AFC teams who could be rivals to the Bills this season? We'll talk about that when we come back. No Sabres Live or One Bills Live today, just me and Josh Schmidt hanging out today. We'll come back after this quick timeout. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What are some of the quarterbacks out there? If you had a list, you say, these are some dope quarterbacks that I would love to throw me the ball the second part of my career?
That's a good question. I would have to say one of my favorite quarterbacks that I've been watching since he came in the league is Josh Allen. He reminds me of an old school or of a new school Andrew Luck.
Yeah, baby. DeAndre Hopkins, earlier, I think it was this either earlier this week or last week on the I Am Athlete podcast hosted by Brandon Marshall, former NFL wide receiver, mentioning Josh Allen being one of those guys he want to play for. I do want to talk about this podcast, though.
The fact that he compares him to Andrew Luck,
I think that's fun.
That's
really fun.
Yeah.
But he did, because there was I don't want to say a controversy. There was a little bit of a controversy because he did not mention Kyler Murray in his little rundown of quarterbacks he wanted.
Yeah.
And Marshall, I guess, called him out on it and was like, no Kyler Murray? And he's like, well, he's dealing with an injury this year. Like, he's probably not going to play all year.
Right, right.
He caught himself. I think... Hopkins has never really done enough to prove to the Cardinals he actually wants to be in Arizona.
No.
Even with the whole Instagram thing where he's like, who said I ever want to leave? Like, what? That's crazy. Like, that, no one bought that ever.
No. No. And it's he kind of weaseled his way out of it because they just said, who do you want to play with? Not next year. So, in a way...
It. I'm all in. I love it.
It's, like I said, I just... really feel like it's more of sign him so no one else can have him.
I think you're right on that too.
And not that he wouldn't play for the Bills. Obviously he would play, but like it just, like you said, it creates kind of a logjam. It creates just too many big names. Because what if he takes away targets from Stephon Diggs? What if he, you know, just doesn't work out in the offense? What if it's too much? You know,
I will say this. I am, and we talked to Matt Parrino just last segment over at Syracuse.com and the Shout podcast, and I asked him about, you know, potentially is there going to be a bit here where Diggs is probably absolutely number one. He's one of Allen's best friends. They've always had that connection on the field. With Gabe Davis, is going to be more of like a, we'll see how it goes. I think very quickly into the offseason or into training camp and stuff like that, that it would be Hopkins is two, Gabe goes back to his third role.
Right.
And I will say on that, though, that's when Gabe Davis was his best.
Right. When he was the number three wide receiver, that was when it was like, wow, this is Gabe Davis. He's really good.
He's being schemed open, had just an unnatural knack for the sidelines, even in his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, I don't think it's really going to hurt Dalton Kincaid much either.
No.
They want to use him more in that slot. That's what Beasley's role was. Beasley wasn't really having targets taken away by guys like Gabe Davis or John Brown or Emmanuel Sanders. This, I think adding Hopkins, kind of is like, all right, well, we spent a one-year deal on guys like Hardy and Sherfield. Now, Hardy, I think, with how Matt put it, too, is that he's much more the McKenzie role of Dable's days, where he's here to do some crazy stuff
so
every now and then.
Here's
Sherfield, I think, is going to be the one that like is really hurt by this.
Right, so here's
if it happens at all.
Here's the pros and cons if it happens. Pros. Diggs could get schemed open more. Because then you, or on the flip side, Hopkins is schemed open more. And regardless of that, Davis is open. You know, yep. if you have all three of them, one or two of them will always be open. Two, this gives more of an insulation for Kincaid. I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to prospects in any sport, is a young prospect being thrust into a very important role needs to be insulated and needs to be isolated almost so that they don't have to worry about too much. Some cons, though. What if somebody like Sherfield or Hardy is better than you expected, but you don't see that because of a guy like DeAndre Hopkins coming in out of nowhere? You know, I mean, in the short term, DeAndre Hopkins is great for the team, but what if a guy like Hardy or Sherfield is better for your team down the road?
Well, Sherfield's kind of been an interesting one, too. Tyler Dunn did a piece on him not long ago about the politics he ran into when he first got in the league of being a later-round receiver, being better, but that teams were like, yeah, but we drafted this guy in the second round. Like, he needs to play over you. And really, he kind of he flourished last year in Miami as that number three receiver behind Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I feel bad, and again, this is all hypothetical of Hopkins signing with the Bills. We do know Allen has been on the top of his list as a guy he wants to play with. Hopkins is a Hall of Famer, and he's a guy that his game has never been based off of, I'm faster than this guy, I'm bigger than this guy.
He's just better.
I get open, and I catch everything thrown my way. Mm-hmm. And that has been something the Bills desperately need, is another guy that is a great separator. Is just open, and he catches the ball.
Yeah,
and keeps the chains moving. This guy was putting up 1,400 yards with Brock Osweiler quarterback.
my whole point with it though is you don't want to sacrifice the now for a potential in the future, but you also don't want to sacrifice a potential in the future for the now. You have to be very delicate with the situation. I don't think Sherfield or Hardy would be so much better in the future that if you sign D-Hop now, you lose out on that chance. But at the same time, realistically, how long is he here? 2 years? 3 years?
I think you can get 3 years out of him. I think absolutely you can
get,
you can get a good 3 years out of him. Absolutely.
But I think if, and this goes for any team, I think, if any team signs him here, it's a 2 year deal max. Probably most likely a 1 year deal. So if that 1 year goes bad, it's a waste of time in a sense. You know what I mean? It's almost like, okay, well, that didn't work. Now what? Because for this whole time, DeAndre Hopkins has been looked at as that missing piece. And now it's like if you get him and it doesn't go well, okay, now what? Then what do we do?
Oh, you're very much sitting there going, well, I think that's the thing though.
And I don't want to seem so negative about it, because I would love to have him, but it's just it's that what if that like,
I don't think you're gonna have to spend much money on him at all.
No, I'm not worried about the money. I'm just worried about, like, you know, if this isn't the solution, what is it?
That's a fair point. Here's my thing with Hopkins. I think, number one, he kind of is getting cut at the right time. It would have been better for him if it was back in March. Mm-hmm. With it being such a poorly received wide receiver class this year in the draft, he absolutely would have had a chance of landing on one of these good teams who's like, hey, we just need a receiver. Baltimore, the Chargers, Kansas City, and Buffalo, really, I think, being the main four in the AFC. Now it's like teams have made their moves. I brought up with Matt as well of Dalton Kincaid. You got the best pass catcher by many reports in the draft. Now what? I think realistically, though, he's going to come in for these teams, and now it won't be this, okay, you're definitely going to have to be like our clear number two, maybe even number one on a team. You can just come in and do your thing, bro. Just do your thing. Don't stress about it. Just keep doing what you're doing. I think that to me is probably the best way Hopkins can attack the rest of his career, is just, we're good. You just keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about it, and we'll keep firing on all cylinders. No problem.
Right.
For the Bills, you have Diggs. Kincaid looks to be pretty darn good. Knox is already here. Gabe Davis, well, maybe isn't justifying being the number two, is not a bad receiver by any stretch of the imagination. We saw how good he was as a third receiver. Like, there's already talent here for him to walk into. And then, of course, the quarterback throwing you the ball is a wizard out there. Like, he can come in, and that's where it's like, for this to fail, he would have to have a major injury early. Right, outside of that, you're not going to spend a ton of money on him, I don't imagine. And along with that, I mean, we know Ian Rapoport reported today, almost right after the deal, that they're taking, Arizona is, the entire $22.5 million cap hit. I mean, that's major. That, like, right. To me especially, like, that shows every team in the NFL was just sitting there going, we'll wait you out. This is a war of attrition that Arizona, who is now, I think, going to go into a legendary tank this year with two almost definitely high first round picks. They're like, whatever. We'll take the cap hit now. We'll be fine in a few years.
I don't ever like tanking in sports, but there's times where it's an actual strategy, and it totally makes sense because you need to make a rebuild if you're Arizona, or it's hard to look around at the other leagues right now because all the seasons are done. But there's so many times where, like, why are you rebuilding? And then there's other times where it's like, why aren't you rebuilding? You know, like, you should be.
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, again, I didn't mean to sound so negative at the beginning there, because I think it'd be great to add him because, like you said, it takes, you can bring him in and say, hey, Steph's the number one guy. Diggs will be that. He can handle that pressure. He can do it. Hopkins could handle that pressure. But I think at this point in his career, he needs to have more freedom and more ability to just play his game and do what he wants. Same thing with Gabe Davis. Like you said, he is the number three guy for sure, and he's flourished in that role. And a guy like DeAndre Hopkins or anyone else they could have brought in that same mold would give Gabe Davis that opportunity to be who he was 2 years ago. And you never know what it could lead to. You know, if he has another year at number three, what if in a couple years, if DeAndre Hopkins comes here, what if he jumps to number two and D-Hop
reduces to number three? You're going to have to find out pretty quick, too, with Gabe.
Well, because he's in a contract year.
Yeah, we're getting close to much having to pay him, potentially.
You also have Khalil Shakir.
Oh, man, I didn't even mention Shakir.
We forgot about Shakir. But think about it, too. There's punt returns. There's kick returns. There's all the scheme plays and things like that.
I mean, there's also a likely chance that he is just the slot receiver. We know that ultimately, you know, that Kincaid could probably take up that role, or that's at least the thought process going into his rookie year. But there is a chance, though. Something that I've really wanted for them to become more efficient is that just go to shorter routes, and that's where Shakir and Kincaid could eat. Mm-hmm. I think even Diggs and Hopkins as well. My thing is, though, is I'm willing to worry about that. Like, that's a problem for Ken Dorsey.
Yes.
And this is where, again, when the Bills drafted Kincaid, of like, you've got to really show something here. You've really got to show something this year that you can be this offensive coordinator that gets the Bills over the hump, that gets them to the next level of their offense. And the offense was great last year in terms of scoring points. It just seemed to really, really be difficult after halftime of the Packers game, where now it's like, now it shouldn't be hard. If you add a guy like Hopkins, if you have a talented rookie like Kincaid, that's where I think very quickly you'd find out, does Ken Dorsey have it as an offensive coordinator? Going to go to the phones. We've got Tyler standing by. Tyler, welcome to the show, my friend. What do you got for me today?
Hi, guys. I just wanted to talk about the fact that the Jets and Miami, since we're really talking about the division race becoming tighter, they both brought in corners to counteract Buffalo's passing attack. Well, we clearly saw it last year that Diggs got double covered and we had nobody else to step up and make a play for Josh. Now, I know we're all talking about Kincaid doing this, but being a rookie, you don't really want that much pressure. So if we bring in D-Hop for that specific reason, now both of those teams cannot sit there and say, okay, we're going to double Diggs, and then Buffalo has no offense outside of that. So if you bring in Hopkins, you got to pick one or the other, and the other one's going to light the secondary corner up.
Tyler, who of the two teams that you mentioned there, both the Jets and the Dolphins, who in your mind is probably the most frightening, at least in terms of the Bills' AFC East chances?
right now, I would say probably the Dolphins, just because their offense is proven. You don't really know what Rodgers is going to end up doing. And you don't know, like, obviously he pulled his calf muscle the other day. He could be out before the season even starts. Now, I know we talk about Tua's long-term, like, availability and stuff like that, but you clearly have Waddle and Tyreek Hill that I would be, frankly, more afraid of on offense than the Jets' offense.
Hey, absolutely. Tyler, thanks for the call, my man. And we are still taking your calls, 803-0550. Do you want Hopkins on the Bills just to be on the Bills, or do you want him on the Bills to keep him away from everyone else in the AFC? I do agree, though, with Tyler on Miami being more frightening. The Jets have been a fun team this offseason to talk about. They have a good defense, but there's so much unknown with Rodgers. Miami showed last year, if they were healthy, they could destroy you very quickly.
I think if Miami has the Jets defense, I'm nervous. That's the one thing the Jets clearly had over the Bills last year was their defense was very good.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Both times the Bills played the Jets, that defense really right. gave them fits.
So really if you give the Jets the Dolphins offense, or if you give the Dolphins the Jets defense, those two teams together are one now, very good complete team.
Now, with the Dolphins, they did get Vic Fangio for their defense coordinator. That was maybe the crown jewel of the defensive coaching group last season. Miami gets him pretty early.
But I still remember our own Sneaky Joe tweeted out a stat line from when Vic Fangio was with the Broncos and what Josh Allen did to the Broncos.
Yes, it's true.
So yes, that is a thing, but they've beaten him before. You know, I don't know. I'm personally equally scared of the two of them. I think they both have very good weapons. They both can beat you in different ways.
I mean, one thing is very for sure. This is not the AFC East of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
No, it's not the Patriots and everyone else.
Yeah, where no one seemed to do a single thing right.
Now it's everyone else and the Patriots, which is hilarious. I love it. It's so fun just to watch them be down there. And
they're treading water, just not very well. I don't love a lot what the Patriots are doing. Although they finally did get an offense coordinator that's actually an offensive mind, so I guess that's a good thing. We'll see how that goes.
You've taken 8 steps backwards, but hey, you took 2 steps forwards right there.
Absolutely. I mean, like, that's a huge move. Going to take a quick time out. No One Bills Live or Sabres Live today. Just me and Josh Schmidt hanging out for the next hour or so. We're going to be on air till I'm going to be on air till 3. Josh is going to, you know, bail on me at 2. It's fine. I'm not upset about that. We'll take your calls when we come back. 803-0550. You're listening to WGR.
Right. Absolutely. He does care about winning, and he is a competitor. You think about everything he's about. It's just about challenges and beating those challenges. He's a very competitive guy, and when the football's in the air, there's no one else you'd rather have going up to get it. He's one of the best jump ball contested catch guys in league history, recently in history, that is. But yeah, when you think about DeAndre having a chance to be part of the winner, that would be significant to him.
NFL reporter Aaron Wilson, he was on the station a few weeks ago talking DeAndre Hopkins. Wilson has been covering the Houston Texans for a number of years, and that's where Hopkins really made his name as one of the best receivers in football, doing it with just some atrocious quarterback talent. I jokingly mentioned Brock Osweiler in the last segment, but it's kind of been
Imagine him on the Texans now, with them kind of like, not rebuilding,
but figuring it out.
There's a foundation that's visible, and they're like on their way up, if you want to word it that way.
I was going to say, like, what's on their way up?
Well,
they made a fun trade.
You can't get lower than where they are.
That's very true.
So,
going to go to the phones. We've got Tom in Amherst calling in. Tom, welcome to the show, my friend. What do we got for me today?
What's going on, my guys? How you doing? Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yeah, baby. It's going to be beautiful, too, Tom. It's going to be a great weekend.
Dogs and burgers all day.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Gabe Davis. If we get D-Hop, Gabe Davis is just going to be running free out there. Can you imagine what's going to happen to his numbers? There's no one that can cover him if you already got those two guys on the field.
Tom, absolutely. I mean, like, that's what me and Josh were talking about last segment. Is you put him in, I think, what has been his best role, which is that third outside wide receiver. DeAndre Hopkins is going to come into this team, be better than what Emmanuel Sanders was in his 1 year with Buffalo, and be better arguably, than what John Brown was in that 1 year when, after we get Diggs and drafted Gabe Davis. You're going to put him in that natural role, and already having so much NFL experience that that Davis does have, his numbers may not pop, but in those flash moments where you need him, he is going to be a very exciting receiver.
If they sign him, he will be what they wanted out of Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, that last piece that'll put the offense right over the top.
Emmanuel Sanders was viewed as, you know, this veteran guy that still has a little bit left in the tank, and I think that D-Hop will be exactly what they wanted but didn't get out of Emmanuel Sanders. Not to say he wasn't good, it's just I think they were expecting a little bit more than what they got out of Emmanuel Sanders.
I would think so. Well, yeah, especially. And it was the second half of that season. Because in the first half, he was really lighting it up. And
he was very consistent.
It almost felt like the start of the season because he wasn't getting the playtime in the preseason with Allen. And there really wasn't even much playtime with Allen in the preseason.
Yep.
That they were like force feeding him targets just to get that symmetry between those two down. And it just, you know, his body kind of wore down and that was kind of it. But I love the addition of Emmanuel Sanders. I would be over the moon if they were able to get DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to take a quick timeout. Josh, you're leaving me. You're going across the hall to do your other job. So that's exciting. Although we'll be back tomorrow.
We will be back tomorrow. There's a lot to talk about tomorrow. Something we haven't talked about much, a big playoff in the English soccer world tomorrow. We're going to get into it tomorrow. It's very interesting. There's a lot of implications going on, including the team having to possibly build an entirely new stadium.
It's going to be interesting.
So it'll be a good time tomorrow.
Going to be fun. We'll be on for Sports Talk Saturday from 11 to 2. I'll be hanging out with you, though, for another hour. Still taking, of course, your calls, 803-0550. DeAndre Hopkins has been released by the Arizona Cardinals. What are your thoughts? What do you want the Bills to do? We'll do it when we come back after this quick timeout. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Right, absolutely. He does care about winning, and he is a competitor. You think about everything he's about, it's just about challenges and beating those challenges. He's a very competitive guy, and when the football's in the air, there's no one else you'd rather have going up to get it. He's one of the best jump ball, contested catch guys in league history, recently in history, that is. But yeah, when you think about DeAndre having a chance to be part of a winner, that would be significant for him.
And NFL reporter Aaron Wilson. He's on the station a few weeks ago talking DeAndre Hopkins. Wilson has been covering the Houston Texans for a number of years, and that's where Hopkins really made his name as one of the best receivers in football, doing it with just some atrocious quarterback talent. I jokingly mentioned Brock Osweiler in the last segment, but it's kind of been
Imagine him on the Texans now, with them kind of like not rebuilding,
sort of figuring it out.
There's a foundation that's visible, and they're like on their way up. If you want to word it,
I was going to say what's on their way up.
Well,
they made a fun trade.
You can't get lower than where they are.
That's very true.
So,
gonna go to the phones. We've got Tom in Amherst calling in. Tom, welcome to the show, my friend. What do we got for me today?
What's going on, my guys? How you doing? Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Oh yeah, baby! It's gonna be beautiful too, Tom. It's gonna be a great weekend.
Dogs and burgers all day.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Gabe Davis. If we get D-Hop, Gabe Davis is just going to be running free out there. Can you imagine what's going to happen to his numbers? There's no one that can cover him if you already got those two guys on the field.
Tom, absolutely. I mean, like, that's what me and Josh were talking about last segment. Is you put him in, I think, what has been his best role, which is that third outside wide receiver. DeAndre Hopkins is going to come into this team, be better than what Emmanuel Sanders was in his 1 year with Buffalo, and be better, arguably, than what John Brown was in that 1 year after we get Diggs and drafted Gabe Davis. You're going to put him in that natural role, and already having so much NFL experience that Davis does have, his numbers may not pop, but in those flash moments where you need him, he is going to be a very exciting receiver.
If they sign him, he will be what they wanted out of Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, that'll put the offense right over the top.
Emmanuel Sanders was viewed as, you know, this veteran guy that still has a little bit left in the tank, and I think that D-Hop will be exactly what they wanted but didn't get out of Emmanuel Sanders. Not to say he wasn't good, it's just I think they were expecting a little bit more than what they got out of Emmanuel Sanders.
I would think so. Well, yeah, especially. And it was the second half of that season. Because in the first half, he was really lighting it up.
He was very consistent.
It almost felt like the start of the season because he wasn't getting the playtime in the preseason with Allen, and there really wasn't even much playtime with Allen in the preseason, that they were like force-feeding him targets just to get that symmetry between those two down. And it just, you know, his body kind of wore down, and that was kind of it. But I love the addition of Emmanuel Sanders. I would be over the moon if they were able to get DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to take a quick timeout. Josh, you're leaving me. You're going across the hall to do your other job, so that's exciting. Although we'll be back tomorrow.
We will be back tomorrow. There's a lot to talk about tomorrow. Something we haven't talked about much, a big playoff in the English soccer world tomorrow. We're going to get into it tomorrow. It's very interesting. There's a lot of implications going on, including the team having to possibly build an entirely new stadium.
It's going to be interesting.
So it'll be a good time tomorrow.
Going to be fun. We'll be on for Sports Talk Saturday from 11 to 2. I'll be hanging out with you, though, for another hour. Still taking, of course, your calls, 803-0550. DeAndre Hopkins has been released by the Arizona Cardinals. What are your thoughts? What do you want the Bills to do? We'll do it when we come back after this quick timeout. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.